Hey everybody, we are back. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. It's your girl Alice Robinson. Come on, girls. We got
Hey,
the
I'm Darina.
Hey, it's Dawn Marie in the house. Whoop, whoop. We got
we
to
are
do
back.
this thing. Woo,
We are
we
back. We're
back.
back, back, back,
Welcome
back.
back. Welcome
My
back.
dog jumped up and looking
Welcome
like, what's wrong with y'all?
back. Look.
Hey,
We want to talk about Benji over
it
here staring at me like what why we ain't outside? Anyway.
is good. I'm so glad to see y'all faces on tonight. It's good to see y'all. So we were talking before we got on live, but we're gonna pick up a little bit where we left out. So our girl is getting ready to fly out. So y'all be praying for her on next Wednesday.
Impromptu, just last minute impromptu things.
Yeah, last minute asking people do they want to go. But she's getting ready to leave us for a vacation for with her daughter. So they going to the beautiful city of
Tulum.
where?
Tulum.
Tulum. Girl,
Tulum.
I ain't never been out the country. I wouldn't know what to
You gotta
do.
have a passport for Mexico? Is
Yes,
that
you do.
correct? Oh, then I definitely can't go.
You and me both, because I ain't got one. Girl, I'm still trying to get my license with the star.
It's
Every
y'all
time I
funny.
try to go and go get it, I always don't have something. And the first time, well, no, it's the same thing I don't have. I don't have my birth certificate. Now I had my birth certificate. Can't find it for the life of me. So I called my sister and I said, "Hey, can you go get my birth certificate?" She said, "Sure can." So I get my birth certificate. I think I put it with the documents that I was taking, because you got to have your birth certificate, your marriage license, and
Why?
your Social Security card in order to get this new driver's license with the star on it.
Oh, the
So I thought
enhanced
I put
one.
a yes. So I thought I had all my stuff, and I went up in there thinking I was good to go. So this is temp number two. I went up in there, why I didn't have my birth certificate again. I don't know where it's at. So I had to
God
call
say
home
you
again and say,
can't
"Hey."
go.
I had to call again and say, "Hey, Nat, I need you to mess my sister. I need y'all to go get my birth certificate for the second time."
Make a copy.
You
But
can't. They
they
want the
want the little legitimate
certified.
print.
Right, but at least you'll have a copy of it though.
But they won't accept that when I go to the Secretary of State. So this point, I'm gonna stick it in my glove box. I'm just gonna put it in the glove box.
You
And
know.
just pray that, yeah, I'm like, and they only giving you until I believe May,
To do
April,
what?
May, to have this star,
The real ID.
the real ID. And that's what they call it. They call it the real ID. So what
I had
if
to
you
look
don't
and see
have
if I
one?
got one.
Well, then they're gonna
Yeah,
restrict your traveling.
so you can't fly, and I do too much traveling
Now
to
see,
not be able to get on a plane.
it's my goal to be able to need and use an extended passport.
See, and
Need
I
and
want so
extended passport, okay.
that's when you have the extra large passport where you use up all your pages. You need some extra pages. I want to be able to use
Oh,
up all my
okay.
pages.
In other words, she wants to travel. She wants to
She wants to
see the
travel,
world.
travel.
She wants to see the world. And I tried to get my I am going to get the passports for the girls, but when I added that thing up, and I don't want to do one at a time or two at a time. I just want to get all of us done, but that's 700 some dollars and one pop.
Well,
Yeah.
praise God. Praise God. Well, Lord, open the door and make a way, Lord, because I ain't trying. It's too
Just in
much
case we
water
have to
traveling
run.
over. Right, that because
Just case we have to run.
we gotta
Just
exceed
case
the
we.
country or something.
Yeah, because I would love to go back to Egypt. That's a place I would love to go back and visit.
Girl, I
That
don't know if I want to go
was
there being
one
a
of your
United
places.
States citizen right now.
Well, I mean, not now, but I mean, before all the unrest, I would have loved to gone back to visit. Oh, that was
yeah. Beautiful. I've never been. I've never been. I would love to see different parts of the country. So maybe the Lord will allow. Let's talk about it. The ability to travel the world and be on stage, and I believe it'll come. Be on stage in different platforms as we continue to do ministry. So real quick, this week, how was y'all week? Y'all know how we do this. How was y'all week on this week?
Well, I'm glad that I was able to get everything finalized, because my daughter was kind of looking, and it was part of that parenting thing, because we had a contract. So I am fulfilling my end of the contract. So yeah. I was like, dang.
You good with them contracts. I don't do contracts. You're a good parent because I don't do contracts.
What contract? What parenting contract do you have in place?
Well,
agreement, I should say.
This was a contract we made actually 2 years ago. Okay. And I wanted her to do something. So the trade-off was she did what I wanted her to do. And in return, I just put it out there. I wanted her to go back to school.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I said, and now this school was giving her pretty much a full scholarship. I was like, gonna go back and do another year. She's like, mentally, she was just like, I don't like it. I was like, come on, we got to do it. I said, okay, if you go back, I'll take you to Mexico for your, you know, end of the year. So we did a contract. She went to school, and when it came time for it, she was like, you know what? Put that money on a car.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay. And then it was like, now let's turn up for my 21st. So we turning up for the 21st birthday.
So this is her 21st. That's awesome, though.
Yeah. So her and Chaylee is about
the first time, the very first time that I'm going anywhere, just me and her. The very first time.
Wow. Yeah. But I'm praying for y'all as you travel. Definitely praying for as you travel.
Is it just for 4 days or a week or?
No, it's just a few days.
Short.
She wants to be there on her birthday. We're leaving on her birthday and I'll be back Sunday.
Yeah, it's a short turnaround. It's a fast trip.
That's okay, because sometimes that's all you need after traveling overseas.
Just a break.
It's just a break to say, ooh, yeah, I got away from that.
And I made sure I took Monday off. So I'm off Monday.
Yeah,
yes. You need that rest day, that fourth day to rest. Yes.
Yeah, because that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. So, Dawn, what's been going on with you besides work? And I know that's what you say.
That's all I do. I need to listen. I got three ladies waiting on me to plan a trip, and it's just like I'm so tired. And I know if they listen to this, they're gonna kill me. And I'll get a phone call in the morning, but all I do is work. My tax accountant called me yesterday. She said, do you know how much money you made last year? And I said, yeah. She said, you jumped two tax brackets. I said, huh, that's a good thing, right? She said, no, it's not. It's not. So I was like,
now with Uncle Sam going, Uncle Sam's going to no. like you. Uncle Sam going to be like, oh, yeah, part. Come on, baby.
Oh,
come
my
on,
God.
Guys. Come on.
She said, I need you to quit a job. She said, you got to quit a job. She said, you can't do this next year. I was like, okay. Well, we'll see what God says in all of this. So, that was the highlight of my week, because it was just like ticket shock. Like, oh, I owe what? I owe what? So,
but
yeah.
You know what she needs to do?
Oh my God.
Do you have a business? Don.
I hear you. No, okay. Ma'am, I do not.
Okay, you need to get a business.
Okay.
And then you can tax write off.
You need to do some write-offs.
It'd be easy to just have a baby. But then I found out people having babies. People with kids they ain't getting none of what they used to get with this new tax thing.
No.
Girl, I'm just
no,
like
because you know I got Chaylee, Chase I, and Chayla. And I didn't get anything back like I normally do for dependents.
Yeah.
And I'm the head of the household. I didn't get that back like that. But I told the Lord, thank you that you didn't make me pay in. Thank you. Because I sure didn't have it. Thank you to make me pay.
What you say, Rinda? Go ahead. Tell me. I need a business so I can do what?
You need a business for write-offs because the government has stopped. Well, I know I am unable to write off my charitable contributions. You know how you used to be able to write off, you know, your tithes and offerings and, you know, your gifts to like Goodwill or whatever.
Right.
I'm unable to do it. So maybe you need a certain tax bracket to be able to write off charitable contributions, but I know I can't do it. But I know business write-offs come,
You know what? I didn't even do, you know, I didn't even do driven to purpose. I probably should have did that.
Well, what you mean you didn't?
What you didn't?
All the money.
What's wrong with you?
You know what? You know what you're doing? Go back and do an amendment.
Yeah.
Go back and do an amendment. Talk to your person, ask them to do an amendment.
Yep. She's a licensed CPA.
Add all this stuff in.
She's a licensed CPA. I'll talk to her.
You're all the traveling you did last year. Quit playing with me, girl.
I was not thinking. Yeah, we're going to have to go back to the
meeting.
But you know what? I don't know if the way they do it
now. You need another person in. Because your CPA, if she knew what you did, she would have asked you. No,
she
but she should have said, okay, what did you do? How can we get you some more write-offs?
She was traveling with me, so she know what I did.
I bet she got her write-offs.
She probably didn't. She probably didn't really think about it. And I'll say something to her. She probably really wasn't thinking about it. But I'll say something to her when I talk to her on tomorrow. She probably really didn't click in her head because she would have did it. So, but I'll say something to her tomorrow about that. But yeah, I didn't think about dripping. I did not. And I've poured a bunch of money.
That's a business.
Oh, a lot of money. It is.
That's a business.
Yeah. It is. It is. I'm registered in the state of Michigan. Matter of fact, they put my little name in the paper.
Hey, you important. You important. Hey, whoop.
I like it. So you need to open, you know, a little, do something. And, but you know, we in the day and time, we need multiple streams that we don't have to necessarily have to, work for, but not work hard for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not having to, because Dawn, I'm like, somewhere you're going to have to push the pause and take a minute and
because you got three jobs. And how do you do self-care?
Enjoy you.
I do find time for the self-care. It ain't much time for self-care like it used to be, but I do find my little quiet moments and time here and there, and then it's just...
But you need to be able to step away for a minute, and I know it's hard because you have so much that you're carrying, but I'm believing God that pretty soon he gonna lighten the load completely, and you're gonna be at one job making...
One job, let that be... sufficient,
beyond sufficient. I'm praying that the Lord put her in a position that she'll never have to want or ask for anything.
And let me say this, because I don't want people thinking that
on her behalf.
I receive that as well. Thank you, both ladies. But let me say this, that so I don't want people to think that I'm broke, poor, and this, and that.
Oh, she is not.
I am not. I literally work three jobs just so that I can have something to do. to stay busy all the time because of the things that actually is going to lead into what we're going to talk about. Let me start that way. Because I'm always, if I sit too long, if I'm stagnant, my mind start going places it shouldn't go. And I start thinking about things like if I woulda, coulda, shoulda's. Back to that.
Yeah.
You guys will find out that a lot of our topics that we touch on, we're going to keep bringing back things that we talked about previously week. So, but this week we're going to talk about, I was scrolling through Facebook, which I don't happen to get on all the time like I used to. And there's a young man that I tend to follow. His name is Trent. I think it's Trent Sheldon. I do believe that's right. And he put on, he just put on his page, functioning depression. And I was scrolling through and I saw and I did a double take and I was like, wow, that's a loaded statement. Functioning depression. What is that? And then I was like, that's you. you're depressed and you don't really realize you're depressed. You keep moving so that you don't have to think about things in your past to bring up things. It's almost like you're running and hiding to stay busy. And so I started digging into that. And I was like, you know, this would be a good topic for us to talk about. Functioning, highly functioning depression. And that is an actual thing.
It is
an actual thing. It is a term used to describe a form of depression where individual experience significant depressive symptoms, but are still able to maintain their daily functioning and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. How many of us are walking around like that?
A whole lot.
I don't even realize it.
Girl, why are you raising your hand? She raised both of them.
I said, yeah, I actually raised both hands. Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, you know, the world keeps going. No matter how many times you want it to stop and you want it to get off, the world will keep on spinning. It keeps on moving. It keeps going on. Mm-hmm. Whether you decide you want to be here with us and you or you don't, the world is still going to keep spinning.
Yeah, still going to keep moving. And a lot of times people don't recognize, like you said, after you read it, then you recognize that's me. A lot of times people don't recognize that they are dealing with functional depression because they think just because I'm moving, just because I'm still handling my responsibility, I don't have that. If you look at the signs of what it is, you'll find out I fall in that category.
Yeah. Everybody deals with some form of depression and they don't realize it.
No.
I don't care how saved this holy and thou you are, everybody deal with a form of depression.
Yeah, you do. You do. Everybody does. But the thing is, how do you, you know, this is the golden question we're going to ask in pretty much all our conversations. How do we learn to come out of it? How do we get out of that? Because that's not a space or a place that we want to levitate or God wants us to levitate in, because you only can function and you only can function there for so long. You cannot stay yet. How long will you be able to function in that depression? Because eventually you'll have that breaking moment, because we all are going to have it. You're going to have that breaking moment to where you're not going to be able to function any longer. And that's not a space or a place you want to get in. So this is our conversation on tonight. People walking around, still doing what you need to do, paying your bills, being mom, being dad, being pastor, being first lady, being whoever, the usher, the deacon, whatever, but you are walking around and you're depressed. Mm-hmm. And we want to say people in the church are not people, church world, it's not a class, it's not a status. It is an issue that we all, and I think all of us face it. I think all of us face it, whether we want to admit it or not, because I had a time in my life that I was depressed, but I was still functioning.
Barely.
And it's like, you were depressed? Yeah, I'm saved, yeah. But I was in a place of, I was still going to church, going to work, paying the bills, taking care of the girls, but I was operating, taking care of my responsibility, but I was depressed. I was depressed and I was like, ooh, this is not a, but I recognized it, that I was not in a good place and I was not in a good space. And so they give us signs. So I went and did my research. I did. I was like, since we're going to talk about this, I want to make sure that I study and I am informed and can help inform what it looks like, what symptoms, and I know Dawn, because I know she done did her research. Darina, I know she did her research. So what does it look like? What are the symptoms when you're dealing with this, when you're dealing with functional depression? So one is persistent sadness or a low mood. How many of us deal with that? And like you said, you keep yourself busy, Dawn. And she, like she said, I don't work three jobs because I'm poor or I don't have no money. I work it so I don't get to this place where I am sad all the time or I'm in a low mood. I keep myself moving so I don't spiral into that space. And then it's a fight. It's a fight to get out of there. Can you hear me, Dawn?
I'm sorry, I got a dog barking in the background, but
Okay, you
yes,
heard me.
I'm hearing everything. You see my finger go up, we good, but I don't want everybody to hear Bentley. He arguing with the dog across the street out the window.
Oh,
So I
Lord.
apologize. Dog or cat, we on he anyway, I digress. But yes, you're absolutely right. I stay busy and usually I'm always surrounding myself around people
Yeah,
so that
yeah.
I don't have that a lot of alone time. Unless I'm talking with God and I have those moments when I do go to him and it's like, Lord, I'm just not feeling it today. I'm feeling off kilter, I need help, I'm struggling today, and it's not that it's not to the point where I want to commit suicide like I used to. I used to want to commit suicide when I was younger, because the way my life, I felt my life was all messed up and discombobulated and nobody loved me and things like that. Well, people were always attacking me, and I've always been like this my entire life because of the type of childhood that I had. So depression has always followed me. The thing about depression as well is that it's also hereditary.
Yeah,
You
it
know,
is.
but we'll get on that. We'll touch that on later. But also, not only do you have those low moods and I started losing interest in just doing things. Like I used to go to the movies by myself. I used to go out to eat to dinner by myself. Just things that I used to love doing by myself. I just stopped doing that. It's just I just somewhere along the way, and it didn't happen overnight. It just slowly creeped up. But
Gradually,
then it
yeah.
was like, okay, I need to work. I need to find something to do. I need to find something to keep my hands busy, And that's why I love working at the domestic violence shelter because there I get to minister to those individuals. Do I do what I love doing? When I worked at the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission, it was just doing what I love doing. But when I go home at night, then there's the you got
The
to walk
silence.
home to the silence,
The
the heavy
silence.
silence. You got to go home to the empty walls because you're an empty nester. You don't have those kids running around anymore. You're dealing with grown kids and they problems and. And you don't want to mess with that because nobody can hear you screaming. You
Yeah,
know,
yeah,
you
yeah.
could be in a room full of people and yet you're still the only one there.
Right,
But
right.
and that's how I am when it comes to dealing with my functioning depression. It's like I can be in a room full of people laughing, joking, and hee-hee and ha-ha, sharing recipes. Oh, yeah, we're gonna do this. Yeah, we're gonna do that. Knowing at the end of the day, all I want to do is go home, go to bed.
Fatigue,
There,
you
oh my
know, and
God.
what they don't understand, and because it's a battle. Depression is a battle, and that's where fatigue come in, because you're literally fighting within yourself. Just okay, huh? And it's where it wears you out. It does, and all you want to do is sleep, all because you like life is just. Like I said, life is just, it stinks. I don't like it.
I don't
Life
like
is,
it.
it's like the, I said, what did I say? You didn't gave me the Ross, what is the cliche? The wrong end of the
Raw
stick.
end of the stick. The raw end of the
Yeah.
stick.
Yeah, I got the wrong end of the stick. Somebody need to flip, somebody, this stick belonged to somebody else. And it makes you exhausted. All you want to do is just climb in the bed and not get up. Just I can't do it. I don't want to face the day. I don't want to do it. And that's part of the, but I think when you get there, I think you're no longer functioning. I think you're slowly getting to the point where, because when they talked about functioning depression, that means you're still moving. You're still taking care of responsibility. But when you start losing the interest in pleasure and activity, you're starting to not function.
You it's dysfunction.
Yeah. You're starting to go backwards. You're starting to lose the ability to do, just carry on daily life. Because like you said, Dawn, you was like, you used to go to the movies by yourself, go out to eat by yourself. I was okay doing by myself, but now that's not working for me anymore. So as we watch, we want to watch as it progress and then notice it. Because you, what I love about you, because I think the biggest difference between you and somebody that may not have Christ in their life, God will always show us little points. We don't always want to see it or recognize it, but he'll say, hey, Dawn, you're not, like you said, I'm not going to the movies anymore. I'm not going out to eat anymore. He'll give us, I'm grateful that we have a navigator that will show us points in our lives where say, hey, this is not right. Pay attention to it. Something's changed. And he allows us to sometimes identify in the problem within the in the church arena. We don't like to acknowledge that this is an issue with some of the believers because they think it's only pertaining to the world. It's not, because we have a whole lot of people walking around and they operating, but they're depressed. So, Dorena, you got something to say?
No, I was just going to piggyback on what Don said. It's like, for me, it's like multiple personalities. It's the best way I can describe it. Because I fight through it all the time. And it's only when I get quiet that people can say or see, okay, that's what it is. But, you know, you get so used to pushing past it and being on the forefront, so to speak, you know, oh, you know, try to be the social butterfly, but deep down inside, you know, you were in turmoil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. But the question is how do you, what are the steps to change?
What are the you have to be willing to open your mouth. You have to come to some real serious realizations about what's really going on in your life. And my son tells me this all the time. He said, Mom, I just want you to heal. You're still dealing with a lot of trauma from childhood and this, that, and the other. But then I go to talk to some of these counselors, and you be sitting out, and they be sitting there asking you, you looking at them like, huh? What? How you gonna help me? You don't understand. You 12 years old, just got a degree with some of the letters behind your name, and that's no disrespect to anybody with those degrees and those credentials. But it's just like, sometimes I don't think people can actually hear you. And I've been to therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists and this, that, and the other, because, and then you sitting there and they like, I'm like, I'm wasting money and time because you're not you see me, but you're not hearing me.
No, and you almost
you're need hearing me, but you don't see me.
I made one cry, and that's when I say, okay, I need somebody different.
I've done that too before, because they were so busy. They was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Oh my God, oh my God.
You're not helping me.
Right.
You're not helping me.
And that was the first time I ever seen that. I'm like, are you really crying?
So I'm at the end. So I had to interject on that one. First, they definitely was not the fit. Because when it comes to those that are in the counseling field, psychologists, whatever, first of all, our emotions should not play into your emotions. We identify definitely where you're at, but me crying with you or crying when you telling me your story, that's a big no. But a lot of times, and this is where I pray, and I said, okay, Lord, I got 5 classes to finish my major. But to be able to understand that you got to be able to be where I'm at to understand, or been where I'm at to understand where I'm at. And that's the problem. to have somebody to sit down that has been through what you're going through makes it easier. That's my opinion. It's like you telling me, hey, babe, you fell and scraped your knee. It's going to heal, but you ain't never, ever fell and scraped your knee. So how you know it's going to heal? So how can you tell me that I can navigate through depression when you've never experienced it? Sometimes I have a hard time. So like when I went through grief counseling and they were trying to talk to me about grief, but y'all husbands and wives are still living. So how do you tell me? And I understand that they're licensed. They done been to school. But it's hard for me to identify with you and you really do not understand what I'm going through. So I think you need somebody that has experienced it, has been through it, and has came through it. Because her crying, talking about she's so sorry.
Girl, I had to give her a box of Kleenex. Like, do you need me? Do you want to talk about it? I'm here to listen. You know, like, hey, I'm paying for this, but hey, you know.
But you're gonna have to pay. So when I leave, my session's free, right? Because I'm gonna have to counsel you instead of you helping me. That's hilarious. But you know, Darina told me about her counseling session, and she had me rolling. I was like, girl. I was like, these physicians, these psychologists, I don't know about some of them that are out there now. I think most of them, so y'all probably gonna be mad. Most of them may just want a paycheck. And you sit and you listen to me, but you am, I see, but you don't tell me nothing. Why am I sitting in your chair? Why am I laying on your couch? And all you giving me is, I see. What do you see?
I hate the ones that just want to give you homework. Here. Oh my, listen. I'm not trying to do a lot of homework.
I ain't in school. Why I got to do homework?
I mean.
Been down that one too.
We ain't even had a session. And I had like four assignments. And then when she come, okay, how'd the assignments go? I was like, dang, you know, we're not talking. I'm paying to do what I can journal on my own. I don't need
that. Oh my gosh. And I hate that.
Let's practice mindfulness. That's the big one. What? Let's practice gratefulness. As you wash the dishes. Oh, I thank you for the water. I am not exaggerating. Because I was like, how do I, you know, she's like, well, I thank you for the water. I thank you for the suds. I thank you for the container that I'm washing dishes in. I thank you for this glass.
Okay, what kind of psychologist was she or he?
I don't know, but I just stopped going because I was like, this ain't working for me. This ain't working for me. Because I was like, it was like I was in school and I was always behind because I had so many assignments. And I was just like.
And here you come giving me more assignments and
you stressing you're not me helping just me. To,
right,
you,
exactly.
You making me more depressed just coming to therapy.
I was stressed just from going to therapy. I was like, what the heck?
No, so you know, but, and I know
you know what. All joking and kidding aside, because I've had those ones too. You're right, Alice. You do have to find a therapist that, or a psychologist or psychiatrist that will that's more fitting to what your need really is, one that you're really comfortable with. But in my case, and let me make sure to say this: I'm not crazy now.
I'm not crazy.
I'm good at pretending to be crazy, but I really am not crazy.
No, you're
I just have those bouts of depressions. And what helps me a lot is my word and me talking and having arguments and disputes with God, which I do often. And he laughs at me, which is okay. He understands and he knows me. But I also talk about it with my friends. You know, yeah. I don't hide it. I don't pretend like, you know, I don't put that mask on and say, oh, I'm okay. No, there's certain people I do that too, because them the ones that go back and want to tell you business and want everybody to know. Mm-hmm. And then there's my real true hard die hard friends that are standing in the pool, not on the pulpit, but standing in the court of law and be like, nope, she didn't do it. Even though they were standing next to me, helping me bury the body. You know, those friends.
Yep.
Those are the ones I talk to and be like,
yeah,
hey, listen, I ain't right now. So you better talk me off this ledge because I'm ready to snap, crackle, and pop, you know.
Come away from the cliff. Come away from the cliff.
I'm like, come on, let's jump, baby. Let's jump. We're going to
jump. I get those Emma Louise friends, you know.
I'm always going to be the one to say, step away from the cliff.
Come I'm gonna be like, come on, let's do it.
And that's the day I'll be like, I don't want to talk to her. I'm gonna go talk to this one over here because this one will tell me exactly what I want to hear. You gotta have those type of friends. Yeah. You gotta have those friends from all walks of life. I don't care how saved you are. You really have to have those friends that save, holy than thou that's gonna pull out the King James, the NIV, the Amplified, and be like, God said. And then you gotta have those that high friends be like, let's go. Who we rolling with? Who butt we kicking today? You know. So I have all those type of friends,
all of those type of friends.
And it's just who, and I can call them right now. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning and they'd be like, you good? And be like, no, what's up? They wake up.
Yeah.
And I do the same for them. So being able to talk about it, being able to be transparent. You know, we grew up, you don't tell your business. You keep your mouth shut. But I've always been the type of person, I was talking because I needed somebody to hear me. I needed somebody to see me. I needed somebody to understand that I'm not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we talked about that. You remember?
Yep. We talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And don't assume that you know everybody's story. You can't pretend like I know your story because I don't.
No. And the thing is this, and we need to understand, and y'all hear us well. Depression does not mean you're crazy. You're not. It is an emotional distress is what depression is. It does not have anything to do with you bipolar, schizophrenic. It's not that. It is not. You can be sound minded. All your faculties, and you're dealing with depressions. And the thing is this, you can have the most smartest person in the world, and they're battling depression. So it does not have to do with people being mentally unstable. That's not it. And so I think a lot of people will correlate the two, and it's not. So we're gonna break that ideal that depression deals with a mental issue. It does not. It is an emotional issue. So I just want to make sure I clarify that for those that are in the listening audience, what depression is. And so everybody, whether you want to admit it or not, everybody has battled depression one time in their life, whether it is severe or minor, it's still depression. Whether it lasts a day, whether it lasts weeks, whether it lasts months or years, it's still depression. Just how severe is it? So, you know, and we know that a lot of times life situations in life can cause depression, from whether it's from childhood to teenage years to early adults to adulthood. Something in your life has transpired to cause that to transpire. So Dorina, you got something to say, sis, before I keep going?
No, I was just thinking back. I was like, oh yeah, I got a whole bunch of triggers.
for real. That's when you know you're not delivered, too. It's like, ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I was like, I tell my daughter all the time, I said, you know, she was saying, you know, depression's not crazy, but I tell you, I'm crazy. I'm just not medicated, so I might be a little bit better off if I was medicated. So, you know, you can't say and do everything with me, because
that's not crazy. That's where I just don't want to take nothing else from nobody else. That's what that is. I done had enough in my life that you crossed me wrong. I'm gonna have to handle you. That's not crazy. That's just I'm fed up. That's I done had enough emotional
Doreen ain't agreeing with that at all. She like, I don't know. She ain't feeling that one at all.
I have had full-blown conversations with myself.
I think all of us talk to ourselves.
Full-blown conversations. I didn't plot it stuff out and
I think, you know what? I think a lot of people, and we're going to be honest, I think a lot of people have plotted a lot of stuff in their head, but don't always, I hope y'all don't follow through.
you don't hear those voices in your head telling you to do something? You don't follow through to
you know
civil
what?
Three, four, and
five? Because this is on, you know, social platform. I believe in the Fifth Amendment.
I plead the Fifth, Your Honor.
Oh, you ain't meant to admit anything. So
I'll be like, Cat Williams, Your Honor, I've known her for 1 hour, and she would never do anything like that, Your Honor.
Y'all ain't got a lick of sense.
What we do? I got a whole penny right here.
You got, oh, Lord, no, she is not going to give me a penny. I ain't studying you. I am so done with you. I am so done with you. She is gonna get a penny. I'm so done with you.
I got a cent.
I am so done. Put the money away. Put it in the bank for me. Put it in the bank. But no, we all know that we have, like Dawn and Dorina was talking about, we all have triggers. And it's key to avoid those if at all possible. You know, we want to stay away from those things that will pull us back into that depression state, if we can avoid it, until we are delivered from it. And it's a fight, but it's worth the fight. I know Dawn got something to say because I'm looking at her now.
No. I mean, I always got something to say, but it is a daily fight. It's just, again, like I said, you have to be transparent. I'll say this, and for those who do know who my daughter is, and I'm not gonna put her name out there for those who don't, but for a while last year, a couple of years, she was going back and forth on Facebook threatening to commit suicide, and this is when it goes back to that depression is hereditary, and a lot of, you know, so I had to deal with that. So she was putting out there that she was, you know, she didn't want to live no more. She this and this and that. And a lot of that was from her own personal choices. She was making bad decisions and doing things, you know, don't want to listen to what mama was telling you because I'm grown type stuff. And it put her in a really, really, I didn't think my daughter was going to survive, you know. And so she was beyond functioning. At one point she was smiling and pretending like everything was okay. But then she would always get on social media and start crying out. And then I was getting phone calls. Call your daughter. Where's your daughter? Is she okay? Woo, woo. I mean, everybody on every platform, people I ain't talked to in decades was calling me. I'm like, how you get my phone number? Wait, this is a brand new phone number. You know, that type of deal. So I go back to, if you're a parent and you're not paying attention to your children, you need to. Don't think because they go to school and you're working that they're okay, because they're not, because they're dealing with a whole different level of stuff we would never in our lifetime even imagine. You know, being bullied is one thing, but their bullying is a whole different level, to the point where young people are taking their own lives. Mm-hmm. If you got grown kids who struggle with addictions, drugs, gambling, sex, or whatever it is, that's a whole nother demonic spirit of depression. And if you're not a parent or a person, no matter what you're dealing with, if you're not a person, a parent that is actually saved and sound in your right mind, you're not going to be able to know how to navigate and get through that or help your children through those things. So if you're struggling with depression and then your children are just struggling with depression, and then that thing passes on to the next generation, how do you deal with that?
Family therapy. You got to break that generational cycle. You have to break it. It has to be destroyed. And there's only one way.
Cast your cares upon.
Yes. There you go.
There's only one way.
And it may not feel like it. You may not feel that comfort. You may not feel like, really, like I said, do like I do. Go to the park and start arguing. Lord, look.
Well, you, know, you go to the park and start arguing, they're gonna lock you up.
It's okay. I do it early in the morning with the dogs. They think I'm talking to the dogs anyway. Okay.
So. I'm gonna tell you what. You know what? I'm gonna tell you what. When I was battling that, I would go. I went to the cemetery, and I was out there screaming. I was like, "This ain't right." I was going off. You have to be able to get it out. Because if you hold it in, you're going to snap.
And it's okay to cry. It's okay. Cry. Cry it out. The Bible said that he collects your tears and put them in a jar and save them anyway. So cry. If you can't cry, scream. Do what you got to do to release that. Don't suppress it. And so the thing with my daughter was it took for her to get away from her environment that she put us, that she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to come back under me, because if your children are not married, grown or not, you're still their covering.
Yes, true.
I don't care what they tell you. You are their covering unless they're married and they have and they're saved and their partners are saved or whatever. But you are their covering until you are no longer here, mm-hmm. because God gave them to you.
Yeah.
And that's the same with your spouse. You have a spouse that's depressed. You don't know, they going to work every day and you ain't even paying attention. They come home. Give me a minute to breathe.
Yeah.
I remember when my children were little, I would come home from work and I just wanted to go to the bathroom and just sit on the toilet, clothes on, everything, not doing it, just sit, just to breathe. And then before I could get comfortable, you okay? I'm hungry. Mommy. And then they bust open the door and then here come the daughter, the dog, the son, the cat, and everybody sitting in the bathroom. You just sitting there like, I just needed 10 minutes.
I so remember those. Still remember that.
I just needed 10 minutes. And we need to do that with our spouses. Mm-hmm. If you're married, give them a minute to come home. Don't start harping on them, wife, husband. What? Don't start harping on them right away. You don't know what their day is like.
No.
We deal with mess on a job, mm-hmm. that messes up your head, and then and then we're looking for some outlet to what I should have said to my boss. I'm gonna end up saying to you, but I need to keep my job, so I'm not gonna cuss my boss out. But you keep messing with me, you gonna get. You know what I'm saying? Give that person a minute to breathe.
Peace. Let it be when they come home. Let there be peace.
Let that sanctuary be the sanctuary.
Yep. Exactly. Let the house be a sanctuary. You know what? Well, that's one thing about my late husband. He said he would run to get home, because when he came home, he knew he would have peace. The girls would, they knew when dad came in the house, they greet him and they go their way. Give him time to come in. Give him time to take a shower. Let him sit for a moment and let him just settle. And when he said girls, they came running. But they got to have a place of sanctuary. Because like you said, they done been dealing with people all day long. And they just want a minute to where their mind can settle. And they can settle. Because sometimes I come in the house and I say, can I just have a whoosha moment? Can I just get a whoosh? And let me, because you already amped up. I don't know if y'all like that when you get home. I'm so, from dealing with, you know, death all day and all this. And when I get home, I'm like, that's what I feel like. And I said, so just let me settle. Let me and the Lord have a minute of quiet time, because I've been talking to people all day. I've been pouring all day. I just need a minute. And I know you need, and I know y'all need my attention. I'm gonna give it. But let me tend to me for just 15, 20 minutes. And then I can tend to you, because you really cannot be any good to anybody else if you're not good to yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't. And try it. Try not to be good to yourself. And it's gonna, like you said, I'm gonna click, pop, snap, crackle, pop. and then once you do that, you can't take it back.
You can't take it back.
It's done.
It's done.
And then you done damaged that person. So learn to take a step back and let them come in. Teach your children. When mom come home, dad come home, teach your children to go into a little quiet space for about 30 minutes, an hour. Give me a minute to come in the house and then come and tell me how your day was. But it's important to do that. It is so vital to do that. And like you were saying, pay attention to your kids. Because I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to post it all on social media. They pretty much going to tell you how they, if they don't verbally tell you, they're going to tell it on social media. Pay attention. And I don't know why people think that's a vulnerable place to be transparent, but they do. They do. They will share their whole life on Facebook, Instagram. They'll tell you. So pay attention, because they will cry out if you pay attention. You'll see it. You definitely will see it. But there's a scripture, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. And it says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the Lord is telling us, hey, if you cast your cares on me, I got you covered. If you just take me on, is really what the Lord said, take me on. Take me. And I'll get under the load with you. And a lot of times we're trying to carry the load. We're trying to do it all on our own. Which I got this, I got heavy. But the Lord has said, if you take me on board, I'll get under the load with you and I'll lighten it. It won't be so heavy for you. And if we can get to that space, and I had to really, that's one of the scriptures the Lord gave me when I was in that mode of that season of depression. He said, let me, and I was saved, but he said, let me get under the load with you, because really, you really not. You trying to fix it yourself, and you can't. You can't fix it yourself. But if you really take me on, I'll get under the load with you, and I'll help you through it. I will. So y'all got something else, sis? Because y'all, I'm like, look.
Go, Alice. You'll never talk. Oh, run, girl. Run, Forrest. Run. Go on with the scriptures, girl. Let's have church.
Second Corinthians, first chapter 3-4. God said, God is called the God of comfort, all comfort, who will comfort people in their troubles. So he said, hey, if you come to me, I can give you comfort. And a lot of times we don't want to say, Lord, I'm like Peter, help me, because I'm sinking, to rise no more. But if you call him, he will come. Psalms 30 and 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's going to come. It is going to come. I can't tell you when, but that's a promise that he gave us. That it will come. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and of heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I read that one. So God has given us a promise, and I love this one. Psalms 42 and 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. So don't be cast down, because our hope is in God. He's given us a way of escape, and he's told us to cast all our cares. And I think, Dorina, I think you cast that one, said that one, 1 Peter 5 and 7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So we have to, and Dawn talked about this, she finds things to keep her from going into that spiral moment. But if we really focus, and she says she spends her time in the word, she spends her time in prayer, if we focus our things on kingdom, and that's what I do. I focus my things on, Lord, what can I do for kingdom? What can I do to build it so that life doesn't try to overtake me, but I overtake life? That's how I made the decision. I refuse And I tell myself this in the morning when I get, I refuse for life to overtake me. I'm going to overtake life. So I make sure that when I wake up in the morning, I told the Lord, help me, because I got to get back in the mode of making sure. Now, I do this every morning. I just don't encourage everybody else to do it like I was. To purpose your day. Purpose your day in God. Make that be your focus point when you wake up in the morning. And then things will not try to attach themselves so quick. My mind is always like, what can I do next, God? What can I do next that the world don't seem so bad? And if you do that, I promise you, God will start pulling stuff out of you that the enemy keeps trying to pack down in you.
Mm-hmm.
So, is a drive. Let kingdom be your drive. Let God be your drive. And eventually, I promise you, I know I can say for me, he lifted the depression. He took that component of my life and he pitched it. He got rid of it. And these two ladies can tell you, I was in a bad place. I was in a really, and even my siblings really did not know. Darina and Dawn knew. They knew I was in a very bad, bad space and place in my life. When I say I was depressed, I probably should have went on medication, but I said, I don't need that. I'm going to stay anchored. I'm going to stay in prayer. And I'm saying, if you're, I'm not telling you not to take medication. If you need it,
go get it.
If you need it, take it. But I had the mind frame, Lord, I know that you're able to deliver me from this. So what I'm going to do, Alice is going to cast all her cares on you. I'm going to stay focused on you, and I'm going to stay committed. And I'm going to trust you as I go. You're going to navigate me through this season of life. And He did it. But I also had some amazing sisters that when I had my cliff moments and I wanted to jump, they said, come on back. Come on back. I know where you're at, but you're going to make it. Hold on. You're going to make it. But you have to have those people like Dawn and Darina and I have been told. You got to have those true friends, those true sisters that will tell you the straight truth, whether you like it or not. They will feed you the truth. And so I'm grateful because it was bad. It was a bad season. And I don't care what nobody says. I thank God that it made me. It made me. So the space that you're in right now, the place that you're in right now is for your development. I know that Dawn don't like the space she's in. I know Darina don't like the season she's in. But it is really for your development. Because if you don't go through this, how are you supposed to tell somebody else how to help them navigate through it? So because God is taking you through this, he gonna bring you out. So this is not a space or a place you gonna hurry stay. Oh, you're just hilarious. I can't stand you. But sometimes it takes people longer than others. It did. Sometimes it takes people longer than others. I can't tell you when God is going to say you it's done, but we have to know that it's for a set season. It's not for a lifetime. And
I just asked God to help me get out of that learning disabled classroom. I need to get into the general population.
I'm
tired of repeating.
No, she didn't.
God, you was hilarious. But you know what? Let me tell you when I got out. When he took me out, when I stopped saying, Lord, get me out. What I started saying is, let me learn what I need to learn in this season. And I think one of y'all told me this, if not both of you, let me learn what I have to learn in this season that I can help somebody else. When I let that be my conversation, I started seeing things turn around. But long as I was, long as I was complaining, in that situation, the longer I stayed, and the worse it seemed to get, to where I was like driving them, the enemy was saying, driving them trees, just run on off. And I was, the Holy Ghost rose up and said, don't do that. Don't do that. So when I started giving God, Lord, I thank you for the season. And this is hard. This was hard to get. And I had
just go back to that lesson they told told Darina. Be thankful for the dishwater.
Yes. And in my yes. But it had to take root in me though. The thing is, it was me just saying it, but when it got into my heart, to where I said, Lord, I thank you for the season that I am in. Yes, it's hard, but I know you have me here for a reason. Let me learn what I have to learn that I can teach
somebody else
in the season that they're going to enter in, because we can't teach nothing if we ain't been through nothing. We ain't got no education in the lesson. But God has given us education in the lesson. Just got to go through it. They're looking at
No, it's the God's honest truth. You got to be transparent. You got to find some friends that are, especially those that know what you're going through and what you've been through. And it's like, you know what? We're going to go through this together. Like Alice said, how can I help? I haven't lost a husband by death, you know. So I don't know how to grieve for that, but I know what it's like to grieve for a parent, you know,
right,
who dies. I don't know what it's like. I know what it's like to grieve for a friend that you're close with, but to have a spouse that's all you know, your husband, your lifeline, your this, that, and the other. I don't understand that, but yet I knew my friend needed me. Okay. And I would pop up on her just out of the clear blue.
You
like,
sure both of them.
Like, where I'd be like, the kids at home with their grandma. I'm like, where your mom at? Oh, she. And then she'll call her and I'll be like, I'm at your house. Where you at? I'm on at my way, you know.
Right. I was at the grave.
You gotta have those friends that'll pop up on you, that'll check in.
You have to have something that you love more than what you don't have.
That's true. Yep. That is true.
And you know what that was? I love the Lord more than anything else. I love my girls, I do. But if God would call them home, I still would say, God, I trust you. We have to love him beyond anything else. And I'll be honest, my husband was my proving ground. I lost my dad, lost my father-in-law, lost my brother. But my husband, my late husband, was my proving ground to where, am I still going to trust you? Am I still going to stick with him in this? And it's proven to me that I love him beyond anything else, because none of my children nor my husband, they're not mine. They're just on loan to me. And I'm grateful for that. But we have to love him, Christ, beyond anything else. And that's where I think the breaking moment for a lot of people is when things transpire, when things happen in life and depression come, and then they say, Lord, why God do this to me? Why God allow this to come up with me? And then they're ready to kick God to the curb. And like, I'm done with him. But we're proving, us three ladies are proving that even in this, even when things are horrible, bad, don't like it, we gonna stay anchored. We gonna talk to God. We gonna look, Lord, I need you to come on now. This is just getting a little rough. But Lord, I'm gonna stick it out. Doesn't matter what happens in my life, one thing will remain constant, and that's you. And that's something that we have made up in our minds and our heart, that we're going to stick no matter what. And that's, so I love him beyond anything else. And the enemy tried me on that with a whole bunch of talk when Chris took flight out of here. But I said, I'm in it until the very end. Until God called me home, I'm going to fight it. And I'm going to stick. Ain't going nowhere. So I agree with you, Darina, 100%. You got to love something more than anything else. And I can't tell you what that is. I can just tell you what it is for me. I love Christ more than anything else. So he outweighs depression, he outweighs anxiety, he outweighs all of that. It's just about waiting for him to come and to lift the load. But he does.
Yeah, even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even said it in the scripture. They said, Lord, even if you don't deliver us out of this, we still gonna praise you. We still not gonna bow our knee. We still gonna give you the, and I'm paraphrasing, we still gonna give you the honor and all the glory.
Hallelujah.
And I've had that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment with God. And he asked me one day, he literally did, this was a while ago before I moved here to Georgia. He said, if I ever don't ever do anything else for you in your life, am I still enough? That broke me. That broke me to no ends. And I said, Lord, for you I live and for you I die. You all I got. It doesn't matter about my children, nothing else. When he said that, even if I don't do nothing else for you, am I still enough?
Still enough. Whoa.
I was like, I just lost. And I was like, I apologize. I repented. I did everything. And I was like, you all I got.
Yeah,
and that's what I
he
tell
has people to be. Today. Yeah,
you
he has
all to be more than that. Because even don't do it for you, will you still praise him? Will you still remember? Do you have enough saved up inside of you that you can render back into the cookie jar and be like, you know, he ain't doing it right now, but 2 years ago, when I was in a similar situation, I remember what he brought me through. Can you back to yesterday when you woke up and you wasn't feeling good, but somebody else you didn't know didn't wake up? Can you go back and say, Lord, you are still enough for me today? No matter what the devil throws at me, no matter how I'm feeling, how I'm walking, whatever, I'm still going to wake up with my eyes open and say, thank you, Jesus, for another day, for giving me another opportunity to get it right one more time. Because God is all you need.
Hallelujah.
I ain't trying to preach to nobody. I ain't trying to tell nobody. I'm telling you my story. God is all I got. I have been through the hell and high water. I got 2 baby daddies and an ex-husband. I've been rejected. I've been through racism. I've been through it. We'll get to me later. But anywho's, God is all I got. And at 60-plus years old, I'm still standing, and I can still say he's all I got. I don't care how much depression I go through. At the end of the day, God, I say thank you. When I lay my head down and when I wake up, I say thank you. Because he don't give me more than I can handle. But God is good. I love you guys. I do. Yeah. We all suffer from highly functioning depression. And there's different levels of depression. There's the depression that will take you out and put you in an isolated place where you don't want to be bothered with nobody. There's the depression that you can still move and do things like and pretend like life is normal. But at the end of the day, find you somebody. And if you can't find nobody, get you a word. I tell people all the time, find one scripture in that Bible. Just one. You only need one. Make that your lifeline. Make that your mantra. Lifeline. Find that one scripture in that Bible. And mine is, greater is he that's within me than he that's within this world. That's my whole, that's the scripture that I hold on to. Because no matter what the devil throws at you, I know God is bigger and better and will take any demon out for me because he loves me. He told me he loves me. I don't know what he told you. He told me he loves me. He cares enough about Dawn Marie. So I'm just saying that. But I love y'all. I do. I love you. I love you. I love you. But I'm going to throw some more scriptures at y'all. And then we're going to close this thing out.
Yeah.
Unless Rena want to throw them out there. Rena, you want to get some scriptures?
No, you all done already preached already. So I'm about to pass the collection plate for you. But I love the old-fashioned Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because Alice know there has been some times when I didn't know how I was going to make it. And it's like he opened up the windows of heaven. Multiple occasions.
And it's
those times when he has come through for me. Because I told God, I said, I got that mustard seed faith. I don't have a whole lot of faith because I got trust issues. But he has continued to prove himself to me where he was like, okay, I have no choice but to trust you. He's not a man that can lie. No son of man, he has to repent. So I was like, okay, I'm getting it. Because, you know, that's the reason why I'm still in this class. I got to keep repeating sometimes because I have to get it. So I was like, okay, God, I got you. But, you know, he proves himself over and over he really does have me, you know, because I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So
I tell people all the time.
So not only do you get that scripture, you know, don't be like the children of Israel with that short-term amnesia. When you forget what God has done for you, you know, you have to remember how he has brought you out and how he has provided for you. And understand that he's not going to, you know, just throw you out by the wayside and neglect you. So I thank God for being a provider and providing sanity on a daily basis.
On a daily basis.
I declare, you know, sometimes when you work with certain people, sanity isn't always your friend.
Hmm.
You might want to go to the other side. So I thank God for sanity on a daily basis.
Daily basis, yeah.
Yes.
And we have to remember that failure is never in God's DNA. So he will never, ever fail us. And remember that God is never going to walk away from us. We choose to walk away from him. Hmm. But he's always waiting for us to return. Just got to make a choice, make a decision. Come on, Dawn. Take us on out.
Well, I was getting ready to say something about what I just want to throw a little nugget to what Renda was saying. You know, even God had to have a conversation with Job, and because Job cursed the day he was born, he didn't speak bad about God, even though his friends and wife told him to. But he finally got to that point. You know, he lost everything, and people think that happened overnight, but that was like a 2-3 year journey for that man. Yeah.
Oh yes, it was.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen right away and impromptu. No, he was there for about 2-3 years there, and then when he just long finally time. Said, "I cursed the day I was born," and God had to come down and say, "Hey, what you just say?" You know, so we have to keep getting it until we get it. We have to keep going until we go until it finally click. Like Renda said, you know, you're going to repeat those things over and over until it finally makes sense. And then be like, you had that aha moment. But
the key is you stick it out.
That's it. That's it.
You have to stick it out. Because when you stop, then that's the problem. Stick it out until the aha, I got it moment comes.
So I'm going to just throw some scriptures out there. Psalms 34, 17 and 18, the righteous cry. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Matthew 11:28, come unto you, all ye that are labor, which others have said. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hold on to that one. Jeremiah 29, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Psalms 30:5, for his anger endure but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night. We talked about that, but you know, joy cometh in the morning. But what's my question, ladies? How long is that night? That's always my question. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Open your mouth. And I'm with Renda on this one. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Fear no evil.
For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If you can't find somebody and you don't know somebody, give us a call. We'll holler back at you. We'll get you off that ledge. We might even give you a parachute and jump with you. We don't know. But
we're going to give you a way to land safely.
That part. That part. But find somebody that loves you, somebody that really, really cares about you mentally and spiritually, and get in your word. And just find, like I say, find one scripture. Just find that one and hold on to it. Repeat that scripture for 30 days and then find you another one. Yeah. And repeat that one to see how much it fills you and how that peace that passes all understanding take over you. I love you.
Did you do Matthew 6?
Did I give you Matthew 6?
I think I read Matthew 6 once.
Nope, go for it.
Take therefore no thought for tomorrow.
Nope, I didn't do that.
Tomorrow shall take the thought for the things of itself.
That's it.
That's a good one. So y'all, in other words, she's saying, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will handle itself. So y'all that are watching this, make sure you go to Driven and Purpose Facebook page, and you can follow Let's Talk About It. Let's Talk About It For Real is also on YouTube. Y'all, make sure that you like, share. Tell everybody that you know that we're here. You can also leave comments, questions, topics that you want to talk about. And also you can go to Driven and Purpose Cash App, and you can sow into this ministry and help us continue to build kingdom. So does anybody want to pray us out on tonight?
Miranda.
Tag your it on tonight.
All right. Father God, we thank you for another day you have given us, another day of peace and sound mind. God, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the clarity that you have given us, that we are not going to worry about tomorrow, that you know that you are a provider, that you are all seeing and all knowing, and that you know the thoughts and the plans that you have for us.
Yes, God.
Thoughts of good and not evil, thoughts of peace and prospering. So God, we thank you for your abundance. We thank you that we can cast our cares on you because we know you care for us. So God, as we go about, if there's anyone that is in need of your peace, of your comfort, of your love, we ask that you strengthen and lighten the load. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
But y'all have a good night until we see you next time. Let's talk about it.
And remember, we don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. We just want to love on you. That's all. Amen.
And we listen and we don't judge.
So we love you. So until next time, let's talk about it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hey. Let's talk about it.